Welcome to the Analytics Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara, and we are diving into the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. This is a team that, like some others, has some transition. So, two-fifths of the offensive line for Tom Brady out, both guards. Ali Marpet retired. They lost Alex Kappa to Cincinnati and free agency. They added Shaq Mason from the Patriots to sort of backfill some of that. They lost pass catchers Rob Gronkowski, Antonio Brown. They lost Chris Godwin to an ACL at the end of last year. So if you look at last year's passing, right, two out of the top five weapons that they had three out of the top five weapons that they had are unavailable week one. We'll see what Chris Godwin's return is. I think you have to have it. You have to have it one way or another, right? You can't say that an ACL is a reason why people take a year to recover and then have him as a top 15 guy. I think that that's a lot to ask. And when you're expecting him to just come back, just roll right back into being a productive player, I think that that is like, I'm not knocking Chris Godwin. I just think that if you're being realistic and having a little bit of risk assessment, a lot of the arguments made for Saquon Barkley and some other guys, and it's not unfair, but that hey, it takes a year to come back from an ACL. Well, like, he did it late in the season last year, right? So this was a late-season injury. He's expecting an early comeback. Color me skeptical on that. I think that leaves a lot of room open for a couple of things. Cade Otton was selected in the fourth round. I think that's interesting. Again, projecting a rookie to take a step forward in year one is less than probably an ideal betting strategy, but I think that that's a situation that's at least interesting from an early flash perspective. Maybe he'll get some opportunity. The other one is really Russell Gage. And coming from Atlanta, he comes over and is going to get almost every opportunity on the other side of Mike Evans. I mean, this is an upgraded situation for him. I find it really, really interesting. So when you look at Gage last year, it was very much like he was kind of thrust into a situation that, frankly, I don't think anyone there expected him to be in with Calvin Ridley missing all that time and the like there. He played 14 games, expected for 12.1 points per game, just missed that at 11.9. He's right about the receiving numbers. He was just down like a half a touchdown or so. So that was really what the difference in the number was. Expected right around the 3-4 range, right? He's at 38, so the 3-4 distinction at the position. Right at expectation in terms of yards per route run, a very high expectation of 1.97 yards per route run, and he performed at 1.96, so I think that's a notable thing there. Performed to expectation last year, top 10 percentile in terms of yards per route run guy. And it was targeted on 23.7% of his routes. Again, that's a top 15 percentile outcome. So, good player. And so I think he's an interesting one that we'll have to be attuned to, especially in some of the costs. I mean, cheap stacks for Brady, for example, I think that's an interesting one. If you're playing in some redraft or something like that, I think that's an interesting bet there. So Russell Gage is a guy I do want to shout out for the purposes of this show. Again, mentioned drafted Rashad White, drafted Cade Otton. Listen, this is a high-flying passing offense, right? They led the league in plays last year, which is great. Second league in dropbacks at 44.9. Brady doesn't scramble, and he doesn't take sacks. This is a great situation for a passing offense. 17th in terms of rush attempts at 23.3, enough to suffice. 63.3% of their plays were designed passes. That ranks 7th. But when you look at some of the neutral game script stuff that we talk about, right, early downs, And you know, relatively close games, right? There's not a huge win probability disparity. They throw the ball in those situations 60.6% of the time. That ranks third. So really, that gives you the DNA of what a team wants to do. They want to throw the ball. They want to throw the ball a lot. And top three in terms of – that would be like a kind of game script adjusted, if you will. Like, hey – really good teams aren't going to throw the ball as much because they're ahead, right? This is kind of like, if you're not ahead, kind of what is your DNA? Top three offense in terms of pass decision-making in those early game scripts, that tells you a lot. They want to throw the ball a lot. They rank fourth in pacing as well. So, I mean, running a ton of plays, running them quickly, running them at a high passing volume, lots there to like. The team ranked 12th in terms of yards per attempt last year at 7.4, 5.9% of their attempts went for touchdowns. That ranked sixth. Only 3.0% of their dropbacks were sacks. That's the lowest rate. So again, Brady doesn't get sacked, and he doesn't scramble. So a lot of that passing game is out. Right, that's a lot of there's a lot of volume out in the routes, if you will. They interestingly use play action on the second lowest percentage of plays, 19.2% of their throws. And again, when you look at this, why I think that's an efficiency, you're like, huh, could there be more there? That's just, I think, notable, right? They're pretty good offense, but I think that's a notable feature. Maybe they try to get back to a little bit more of that. But why is the team so lucrative as well? You get to the expected points, top three for each of the positions, running back, wide receiver, and tight end. Fifth in terms of red zone plays at 191. They rank second in red zone throw rate. Again, this team wants to throw the ball. 63.4%. Only Pittsburgh threw it more in the red zone at 70.7%. Just an outlandish difference there. How does that all factor in, right? You just sort of put it in the blender and what comes out. Running back one in expected points for running backs at 27.0 points per game. Wide receiver, they were third at 44.2 points per game. And tight end, they were second at 18.6 points per game. Some fun stuff here on Leonard Fournette. Fourth in terms of expected points per game and fourth in actual points per game. He's 80th percentile in terms of expected points per route run at 0.4, so that's a good, just a really good situation for him. He ranked third in routes per game, 25.8, and he ranked first in targets per game at 5.9. Again, it's just a volume, it's a huge volume thing. The situation's really good. You could quibble a little bit with some of the efficiency stuff, that's like fine, but I think when you do that in a situation like Fournette, you're kind of whistling past the graveyard in terms of like, hey, there's this like great volume situation going on, and you're trying to nitpick, right? I think that's the thing you got to be careful with in terms of if you want to poke some stuff at Fournette. If he's healthy, this situation is exactly where you want the starting running back, and I'm a big fan of Fournette, particularly at his cost. Some other stuff here. Mike Evans, 16.4 points per game. He's 11th at the position. Expected points per game was 13.7. He was expected for 8.8 touchdowns, and he scored 14. Listen, that's good efficiency. It wouldn't shock me again if he scored 14 touchdowns. Right, Gronkowski gone. Right, you wonder a little bit with Godwin. Right, this is going to be the wide receiver one, or should be the wide receiver one for this team. If you don't think that, you should be way in on Russell Gage. That would be my opinion. Godwin, I think, is more of a second half of the season type play. I'd be careful on it. Evans did again. He went well above expectation in terms of yards per route run as well. I did note some stuff. And I saw some stuff from PFF. They're doing some really good work in terms of some of the coverage stuff. I think is really awesome. Is Mike Evans washed? So since 2019, this is from Timo Risky over at @PFF_Moo, which is a funny handle. Since 2019, there are eight wide receivers with 300 plus routes in single man coverage who have won their route at least 50% of the time. Mike Evans is first at 55.6%. Here is where they rank in strength of opposing cornerbacks, right? Among the 64 wide receivers with 300 plus routes run, Mike Evans, number one. So did the best against man single man coverage and did it against the hardest competition. That's a badass right there. That's a badass for him. Some other stuff here on Mike Evans. The Bucs almost never engineer yards for him on routes that don't have a charted route, running grade, think screens, quick game, or other stuff. His yards per route run was actually 0.06, so he wasn't getting easy stuff, which is interesting. Godwin gets a lot of that easy stuff. Evans, not so much. Wide receivers with the most engineered yards since 2019. Again, this is just a thread from him. Second most, Chris Godwin. Right. So you think about those guys in terms of their usage. Evans is getting everything that he is earning, everything he gets, and Godwin's getting some of the easy pitch and catch stuff. Right. I think that's the big thing there. Some awesome stuff over there from PFF. Thanks for them for that. Again, above expectation in really hard sledding. Think about profiles that are going to age well. He's out there just whooping on people, and he's whooping on tough competition, and he's still doing it. Just awesome. And I hope like you get two or three more seasons of this, and the whole we might get more data. And I'd be really interested as we get more data if we come to appreciate Mike Evans more. Because you see stuff like this and you're like, all right, he just kicked everyone's ass. You'd be like, well, they threw the best that they could have at him and he was still the best. Be like, okay, well, that's kind of awesome. And so, yeah, big fan of Evans there. And I think that that's good data for him as well. So sorry for any aggressive endorsement there on the swearing thing. I usually don't do that, but excitement over Mike Evans nonetheless. Okay, some other stuff here in terms of but just big items to watch, right? If we're just going to kind of do takeaways, I think the three big ones would be Chris Godwin's health, right? The tight end one situation. I think that that's interesting in the role of Rashad White. I will say that I have seen some stuff from Rashad White. It's 20 or so receptions. Not a ton there, right? You still look, it's 2 or 3 to 1, depending on where you look for Fournette ahead of Tampa. So I think that that's a great, two or three to one with Fournette ahead of White in terms of passing game yardage. Sorry, put a fine cap on that. And I think that holds, right? So I think that that is going to hold in terms of what you would expect. That would be where my money would be at in terms of the overall allotment. I'm in on Leonard Fournette quite a bit. Lastly, we'll take a look here at some of the cost stuff in terms of our real draft position versus the underdog stuff. Brady, quarterback 21. He's quarterback 10 at underdog. Again, a good year here. I would be careful about projecting the highest of ceilings, just for what that's worth. I'm not sure how it comes together the same way for like a top three season, but I think he's got a really high floor and a high likelihood of being a quarterback top 12. Not sure about the super elite ceiling. Fournette, running back 22 at in terms of RDP, 11 at underdog. Rashad White, 34 in RDP, 42 at underdog. Evans, 19 in ADP, 7 at underdog. There's a huge spread. Godwin, 22 at an RDP, 30 at underdog, so be careful there. Russell Gage, there's a big difference there, 53 in Dynasty ADP, 35 at underdog. Otten, 30 and 33, and Cameron Brate, 28 and 23. So biggest targets there, I would say. Brady, think one-year rental. And if you get more, that's great. But one-year rental. Fournette, in a one-plus type scenario, I think, and Evans smash, right? I think the big takeaway from this is Evans is awesome. So that'll do it for this edition. We can finish on that. And until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.